Okay, we'll get started. We are on Vav Amud Aleph, four lines down from the top by the two dots in the middle of the fourth line. I've had a few requests to try to go a little bit slower, so we're going to try to find a happy medium between fast and slow, and you'll let me know how I do this time, but we'll try to find that right balance between not making it go too long, but also not going too fast that we can't understand what's going on. Okay, so we're at the fourth line of Vav Amud Aleph. Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis taught in a brisa. If you remember last time, we spoke about these things called Yoreh and Malkush. There are two types of rain. Yoreh is the rain at the beginning of the season, and Malkush is the rain at the end of the season. So Tana Rabbanan, Yoreh, so the rabbis taught in a brisa that there's something called Yoreh. So the Pasuk calls it Yoreh. Why is it called Yoreh? Where does that name come from? Says the Gemara, Shemoreh Esabrios Lahatiyah. Because it's Moreh, because it instructs us, it instructs the creations of the world to begin plastering their roofs. We all know that when the rainy season is going to come, when the rains are going to come, some of us have not necessarily patched up our roof over the summer, and as a result, there's going to be some rain falling through the roof if we don't patch them up. So the first rains come so that they can instruct us that we should start patching up our roofs, so that we should start bringing in our fruits that we're drying out in the field, that we should bring them in, and we should do all the things that we need to do to prepare for the rainy season, to prepare for the winter months. That's one perspective of why it's called Yoreh, why the Torah uses that language. Davar Acher, another reason. Not that it instructs people on what to do, but rather that it's merava, saturates the lands and that it waters the earth into the depths. Shenamar talmeha rua rave nachas gedudeha berivim timogigena tzamcha tavarech. That by saturating its furrows, you bring pleasure to its bands of people. With showers, you soften the earth. Its growth, you bless. In other words, what the Torah says is that it uses the word rave, which means saturates. It saturates the land. So that's why it's called Yoreh, because it's the same language. So the first rains saturate the earth. Okay, that's the second perspective of why it's called Yoreh, why the first rains are called Yoreh. Davar Acher, Yoreh sheyorid benachas ve'inu yorid bezaaf. The reason why the first rains are called Yoreh is because they fall like nice and gently. They're not like these like torrential rains. They're nice, gentle rains. So the whole question is over here is what in the world is the connection between yorid benachas and the language of Yoreh? So one perspective is to say that Yoreh sounds a lot like Yoreid. So Yoreh means it's called Yoreh because it just sounds like Yoreid, and Yoreid means that it falls gently. That's one perspective. Another perspective is that this is actually going another idea connected to the first statement that we made regarding Yoreh, that Yoreh is like Moreh, that it's like instruction. And how should instruction take place? Whenever we're instructing people, it should happen gently and not like violently. And therefore, just like instruction should be gentle, so too should rain be gentle. That's why Yoreh sheyorid benachas. So it's called Yoreh because it's gentle rain, ve'inu yoreid bezaaf, but it's not violent rain. Okay. Oh, inu Yoreh, elash mashir sa peros, umashtiv hasa zram, umashtiv hasa ilanos. You've been assuming that when the Torah calls it Yoreh, that when the first rains are called Yoreh, it means there's something positive. But maybe Yoreh actually means that it causes the fruits to fall, it causes the seeds to be washed away, and it causes the trees to be washed away. So how do you know that that's not what Yoreh means when the Torah calls the first rain Yoreh? That it's a negative thing, not a positive thing. So it says the Gemara, the first wide line of the page, Tamed Lomar, Malkush. That's why the Torah connects Yoreh and Malkush. That's why they're both in the Pasuk together. That what? Ma Malkush Levracha, Af Yoreh Levracha. That just like when the Torah uses the word Malkush to talk about the rains at the end of the season, it means that it's rains for a blessing. So too, we know that the Yoreh rains are also for a blessing, that they're not for negative things. Says the Gemara, Oh, Eino Malkush, Ela Shemapil Esa Batim Umeshaber Esa Ilanos Umale Esa Skoyin. Maybe when the Torah says Malkush, it's actually talking about something negative, that it calls them Malkush, calls the final rains Malkush, because what? They cause the houses to fall, and they cause the trees to be destroyed, and they cause the locusts to be raised up, so it's actually maybe a negative thing. So how do we know that Malkush is positive in the first place? Is the Gemara? Well, Talmud Lomar Yoreh. That's why the Torah connects Malkush and Yoreh. Ma Yoreh Levracha, just like Yoreh is supposed to be for a blessing, Af Malkush Levracha. So to the final rain, the rains, the Malkush rains, are also supposed to be for a blessing. Says the Gemara, what? The Yoreh Gufa Minalan. We just said that we learn Yoreh from Malkush, and we learn Malkush from Yoreh. You can't have it both ways. Either you have to learn one from the other, but you can't learn both of them from each other, otherwise you don't learn anything from anywhere. So says the Gemara, the Yoreh Gufa Minalan, where do we actually truthfully learn that Yoreh is a positive connotation that's supposed to be for a blessing? Dichtiv, uvnei tzion gilu v'simchu b'ashem alokeichem, ki nasa lachem es ha-moreh letztaka, v'yoreh lachem geshem moreh u'malkush bar. Rishon. Says the pasuk, the children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in Hashem your God, for He has given you Yore as charity, and He has brought down rain for you, Yore Umalkosh, in the first month. So in other words, the implication of the pasuk is that when God gives us Yore rain, when He gives us that, it's like a charity, it's a good thing. So therefore, it's clear from this pasuk that Yore is positive, therefore we know that Yore is a positive thing, therefore we also know that Malkosh is positive because it's connected with Yore. Okay, two dots. The fifth line from into the wide lines. Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis taught in the Braisa, Yore b'Marcheshvan u'Malkosh b'Nisan. When the Torah tells us that we're going to have Yore, it means that we're going to have the Yore rains, the first rains in Marcheshvan, and the Malkosh rains in Nisan.
Says we got a rainy day in Yerushalayim 3 days before Pesach.
Okay. Atza Omer, Yore b'Marcheshvan u'Malkosh b'Nisan. Oh, you know, Yore b'Tishrei u'Malkosh b'Iyar. So one second, you just said a moment ago that the Braisa teaches that Yore is going to fall in Marcheshvan and Malkosh is going to fall in Nisan. But maybe you're saying that this is how it's going to work. But maybe actually, when the Torah says Yore and Malkosh, it means that Yore is going to fall in Tishrei and the Malkosh is going to fall in Iyar, meaning the month before that it actually should start and the month later that it actually should go. Talmud Lomar. So how do we know that's not what the Torah means, and rather that they're going to for sure fall in Tishrei? Sorry, that they're going to for sure fall in Marcheshvan and Nisan, Tamalomar Be'ito. That's why the Torah says they're going to fall in their time, which means the best time possible. Therefore, the best time possible for the first rains to fall is Marcheshvan, and that's how we know they're going to be in Marcheshvan, and the best time for the Malkosh rains to fall is going to be in Nisan, and that's how we know for sure that's when they're going to fall. Okay, now, Malkosh, says the Gemara, we explained what the etymology of the word Yore is all about. How do we know what Malkosh, where does Malkosh come from? Where does that language come from? Amar Rav Nihilai Bar Idi Amar Shmuel Davar Shemal Kash Yosehan Shal Yisrael. You want to know why it's called Malkosh? Because it, quote-unquote, circumcises the hardness of the Jewish people. How so? Because if the Malkosh, if the final rains don't fall, then all of a sudden, as Rashi explains, we're not going to see it inside, but you can take a look yourself, if the rains don't fall, then the Jewish people are going to get very nervous, and then they're going to start fasting, and they're going to start crying, and that's going to help the Jewish people overcome the mistakes that they made in the past. So it's going to circumcise the difficultness of the Jewish people. So in other words, the reason why it's called Malkosh is connecting it to this idea of Mal Kashiosehan, that if the rain does not fall, if the Malkosh rain does not fall, then it's going to cause the Jewish people to want to do tshuva. So therefore, that's why it's called Malkosh, because of what would happen if it does not fall. Okay, that's one perspective. Devei Rabbi Yishmael Tana, and the Yeshiva Rabbi Yishmael, they taught, Davar Shemamali Tavua B'Kasheh. No, you want to know, it's very simple where the term Malkosh comes from. It's that which fills the stalks with grain. We know that the final rain helps bring grain to the stalks. So that's how you know, that's where the language comes from, because of Male and Kasha. Okay, the Masisa Tana was taught in a Braisa, Davar, Sheyorid Alhamelilos, Alhakashin. No, another idea. Where does Malkosh come from? That it's something that comes down on the Melilos, the ears, and on the Kashin, the stalks. And so, therefore, Melilos and Kashin, you put that together, you get Malkosh. Okay, that was the third perspective. Okay, now a whole new idea. Tana Rabbanan, related to what we said just a few lines ago. Tana Rabbanan, the rabbi said in a Braisa, Yore b'Marcheshvan u'Malkosh b'Nisan. We've said many times already that the Yore rains are going to fall in Marcheshvan, and the Malkosh rains are going to fall in Nisan. Ata omer Yore b'Marcheshvan o'enu ele b'chodesh kislev. So says the Gemara, you're saying that Yore is going to fall on Marcheshvan and Malkosh is going to be in Nisan, but let's talk about Yore for a second. How do you know that Yore is actually going to fall on Marcheshvan? Maybe it's going to fall in Chodesh Kislev. So says the Gemara, how do you know that it's not going to fall on Kislev? Talmud Lomar Beito Yore and Malkosh. That the Torah says that Yore and Malkosh are going to fall on their time. Ma Malkosh Beito, just like Malkosh is going to fall in its time, meaning in Nisan, Af Yore Beito, so too will Yore also fall in its time, which means Marcheshvan and not in Kislev. Okay, we'll skip the parentheses, as we have the tradition to do so. Okay, keep going. Tanya Idach, another Braisa teaches, Yore b'Marcheshvan u'Malkosh b'Nisan d'Rei Rabbi Meir. The first opinion that interprets what the Pasuk is saying when it says that the Yore and Malkosh rains are going to fall is that Yore is going to fall in Marcheshvan, as we know, and that Malkosh is going to fall in Nisan, as we know. That's how we've been teaching, and those are the words of Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim say, Yore, when does Yore fall? When the Torah speaks about it, but Kislev, it's talking about the rain actually falling in Kislev. Okay, that's a new idea. And so not, we're not arguing on that. Rather, that's just another opinion. The Chachamim hold that Yore actually falls in Kislev. Says the Gemara, Man Chachamim, who are these Chachamim that you're talking about? Amar Rav Chissa, Rabbi Yossi. He, Rav Chissa says that Rabbi Yossi is the Chacham over here. So Rabbi Yossi is the one holds that Yore is going to fall in Nisan. Detanya, that it was taught in a Braisa, Ezohi Revia Rishona. So without going any further, we just have to quickly explain what this means. What is a Revia Rishona? So we've been sort of vaguely saying that there's something called Yore rains and Malkus rains. So Yore rains, it represents the first rains of the season, but those first rains are broken into three categories, into three revios. So there's going to be a revia rishona, revia shniya, and revia shlishi. So there are three different ones. So the Braisa is saying over here, Ezohi revia rishona, when is the first rain, meaning when is the first of the three rains of Yore? Habechira b'shlosh of Mar Cheshvan. So it says the Braisa, the first rain falls on the third of Mar Cheshvan. Beinones b'shivabo, the middle rain, the second of the two of the three rains of Yore of b'shivabo will fall on the seventh of Mar Cheshvan. And Afila b'shiva aserbo, and the third and final rain will fall on the 17th of Mar Cheshvan. Zivrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion of when the Yorah, three Yorah rains are going to fall. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'shiva u'v'yidzayin u'v'eshrim v'shlosha. Rabbi Yehuda says no. When are they going to fall? On the 7th of Mar Cheshvan, on the 17th of Mar Cheshvan, and on the 23rd of Mar Cheshvan. Those are the three dates of the three Yorah rains. And Rabbi Yossi Omer b'yidzayin u'v'eshrim v'shlosha u'v'rosh chodesh kislev. When do the three Yorah rains fall? On the 17th of Mar Cheshvan, on the 23rd of Mar Cheshvan, and on Rosh Chodesh Kislev. So we see over here that Rabbi Yossi clearly holds that the Yorah rains are obviously connected to Kislev, because the third of the three Yorah rains falls on Kislev. The other two, the middle one again, is going to fall on the 23rd, and the first one's going to fall on the 17th, according to Rabbi Yossi. Okay, v'chein haya Rabbi Yossi Omer, and this is exactly what Rabbi Yossi used to say: ein hayachidim misanin ad sheyagia Rosh Chodesh Kislev. The individual ones, like the important pious ones, wouldn't begin fasting if there had not been any rain that fell yet that year until Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Once Rosh Chodesh Kislev came and they saw that no rain fell, that's when they would start fasting, but not before then, because that was the last opportunity for the first rains to actually fall. Amar Rav Chista, halacha k'Rabbi Yossi. So Rav Chista says that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, meaning what? That we assume that the three Yorah rains that are going to fall are going to fall on the 3 days that Rabbi Yossi said that they were going to fall, namely on the 17th, the 23rd, and on Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Okay. Amimar Masni Lahad Rav Chista Bahalishna. So this is a very interesting statement that Gemara is making. Amimar taught this teaching of Rav Chista on the following teaching. So in other words, he's going to say that Rav Chista said the halacha is like someone in the following teaching. B'shlosha b'mar cheshvan, sho'al nesek g'shamem. The first opinion says that on the third of Mar Cheshvan, that's when we begin to ask for rain. That's when we begin to say v'sein talamot or lebracha. Rabban Gamliel Omer b'shivabo. Rabban Gamliel says no. We begin to say v'sein talamot or lebracha on the 7th of Mar Cheshvan. Amar Rav Chista. Rav Chista says halacha k'Rabban Gamliel. So evidently, the teaching is not that Rav Chista is saying halacha is like Rabbi Yossi according to this understanding, but rather that Rav Chista is saying over here that the halacha is like Rabban Gamliel, that we paskin, that we start asking for rain on the 7th of Mar Cheshvan. Says the Gemara, k'man azla hadetanya. Now going back for a moment, okay? So, come on, Azla Hadatanya, whose opinion is the one that's going to be represented in the following braisa? Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Geshemem Sheyardu Shiva Yemem Ze Achar Ze Ata Mona Behen Revia Rishona Uvishnia Vishlishes. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says that rain that falls for seven straight days, day after day, so you can either count that as the first and the second rain of the three Revia rains, or as the second and the third Revia rains. So Kiman, who is this teaching like of the three opinions that we stated earlier? Rabbi Yossi, it's like Rabbi Yossi. How does this work out? Because if you look at the opinion of Rabbi Yossi again, which is 17:23 and Rosh Chodesh Kislev, those are the three days that Rabbi Yossi says, you'll notice that none of them is really more than 7 days apart, which therefore it means that as long as you're going to have rain for 7 days, then it could in theory be either the first or the second Revia counted as in those 7 days, or it could be even the second or third Revia counted in those 7 days. So that's how you know that this teaching is our Rabbi Yossi. If you have rain for 7 days, you can count it as the first and the second, or the second and the third. Okay, Amar Rav Chista, and we again reiterate what we said before. The Rav Chista says, halacha k'Rabbi Yossi, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. We assume that the three dates of 17, 23, and Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Those are the three dates that your rains will fall. Okay, Bishlam Raviyah Rishon, and now we're going to try to understand something, and that is that we have the three dates of all of the three Raviyah rains, but says the Gemara, Bishlam Raviyah Rishon Lashol. I understand why it's important for me to know the specific date that we could expect the first Yora rain to fall, because that's going to be the date that I'm going to start asking for rain. That's going to be the day when I start with saying Talmud Shalom Bracha. Shlishish Lehisanos. I know why I need to know the date of the third rain, because if the rain does not come by that day, then that's when I'm going to start fasting. Shnia Lamai, but who cares when the middle rain is going to fall? Who cares when the second of the third, the second of the three Yora rains is going to start falling? So now we're going to have a few very, very out of the box and very off topic opinions to show us why we need to know why we need to know the date of the second of the three Yora rains. So says the Gemara. So Shnia Lamai, what do we need it for? Amar Rabbi Zeir l'Nedarim. Rabbi Zeir says we need it for the halachos of Nedarim. The Tanan that we taught a Mishnah regarding Nedarim, and now in Vava Mabez, Hanoder Ad Hageshamim, a person who says a person who takes a vow that they are not going to benefit from something until the rain comes, or Mishayardu Geshamim, or they're not going to benefit from something until there comes to be rain. The gear seems to be changed over here, but again, so the idea is that the guy is taking a vow that he's not going to benefit from something until the rain is there. Says the Gemara, what does it mean until says the Mishnah, when is this guy allowed to start benefiting from something? The second rain is going to determine when the guy is allowed to start getting benefit from something. Once the second rain comes, then he is allowed, seemingly once it even starts, I guess, once it comes, then your person is allowed to begin benefiting from something which he swore off of until the rains were going to come. That was one perspective of why we need to know why the rain, that's one perspective of why we need to know the date for the middle of the three Yora rains. Rav Zvid Amar, Rav Zvid says, I have another reason why you need to know the date of the middle one. L'zeisim, I need to know because of the Oz. What do you mean? Ditnan, there was a mission that was taught me, Emasai kol adam mutarn beleket b'shicha uvepeya. Right, so we have these many different categories of things that we have to leave over in our field for the poor person. So, but the mission wants to know, when are all people, and Rashi explains, who are all people? Who is any man? Rashi says, afilu ha'ashirim, even the rich people. When are the rich people allowed to go and start collecting, if they want, from the leket, the shicha, and the peya? Says the Gemara, mashlichu hanemushos. Once the rummagers go through the field, then anyone, even the rich people, are allowed to start taking from what's in the field. Beperatu olalos, another type of produce that we leave in the field. When is a person allowed to start taking, even a rich person, from the peret and the ololos? Mishayelchu aniyim bekerem v'yavo. Once the poor people have gone through the vineyard once, and then they go through it a second time, then at that point all the rich people are allowed to start going through it, because we could assume that no one else is going to come back for the poor people to take something. Okay, now bezeisim, when is a person, even a rich person, allowed to take the shicha and the peya from the zeisim? Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, mishetiri revieshnia. Once the second rain has come and gone, once the second rain has passed, then the people are allowed to come take of the shicha and the peah of the zaysim. Okay. So that's why we need to know the middle date of the second reign of the Yore reigns. Okay, now the Gemara has a few questions over here. First of all, my nemushos, who in the world are these rummagers that we're talking about? Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Sabi de Azli Atigra, the elderly man with the cane. Once the elderly man with the cane goes through the field, then we could assume that he was very slow and he took his time, therefore he took everything that was there. So then we could assume that everything is gone, and therefore the rich people are allowed to go in. That's one perspective of who the Nemushos were. Reish Lakish Amar Lakute Basar Lakute. What does this mean? That those who glean after the gleaners. What in the world does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. He's about 15 lines into the skinny lines. Lakute Basar Lakute, ani molich. There is a poor person that walks through the field. Beno acharav, and his son comes after him. Shemikan veilach poskan shar aniim milokot. After you have the poor person go, and his son goes behind him, for sure all the stuff is going to be taken. That is really important. So no more poor people are going to come. So once these people are who Reish Lakish would call the rummagers. So once they go through the field, then the rich people are allowed to come and collect. Because again, you'd assume that no more poor people are going to come to collect. Rav Papa Amar. Now, going back to the perspective of why we need to know the date of the middle rain, Rav Papa says, "Kedei lahalech b'shvili harashus," because it informs us on what we need to know regarding the date of people who want to walk through the Shvili HaRashus, the path of permission. What in the world is the path of permission? So basically, without going too far into understanding it, the basic idea is that there were times when the Beis Din would allow people to walk through other people's fields. They could take shortcuts through other people's fields. But there were certain periods of the year this was allowed, and certain periods of the year this was not allowed. Okay, Damar Mar, that we learned previously, Mehalchin Kol Adam B'Shvili HaRashus, that a person is allowed to walk through these paths of permission, until the second rain comes. Meaning, once the second rain comes and it starts raining already, you can't go in the field anymore, because now you're going to start ruining people's produce if you're going to let people walk in their field. But until then, until the rain starts to come, the second rain starts to come, and the produce starts to really start growing, then you are allowed to walk again before that point. But once the rain comes, you cannot do it anymore. So that's why we need to know the date of the second rain. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, another perspective of why we need to know the date of the second rain. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, "Leva'er peros shvias." To know when we are supposed to destroy the produce of Shvias, the produce of the seventh year. So says the Gemara, Ditna, that was taught in the Mishnah, Ad Masai Nehenin Vesorfin Betevin Uvekash, Shal Shvias Ad Shetirid Reviashnia, until when is a person allowed to benefit and burn the stubble and the straw of Shvias of the seventh year? Until the rain begins, until the second rain begins in the eighth year. So you can benefit from it until then, but after the rain starts falling down, you can no longer benefit from it. At that point, you have to just start destroying it. My time, why does it become forbidden at this point? Meaning, let it always be permitted. Why do you ever have to forbid it? Says the Gemara, the Torah teaches us that, and it shall be for your animals and for the beasts that are in your land. So says the Gemara, as long as the wild beast is allowed to eat in your field, meaning as long as there's going to be the opportunity for him to get food from the field, then you could feed the animals in your home as well. You could feed your pets. Kala lechaya min asadeh. However, once there is no longer any food available for the beast in the field, meaning because the rain has come in, I guess now the food is all destroyed at this point, so there's no food for the beast. Now kala lehemteich min abayas. Now you are not allowed to give any food to the animals in your house either. Okay. Now we're going to go into a conversation of trying to understand where the language of Revia comes from. We've said that Revia is the word that we use to refer to the different rains of the season, right? There's Revia, Rishona, etc. So Amar Rabbi Abahu says, "My Lashon Revia." Where does the language of Revia come from? Says the Gemara, "Davar sherova es hakarka." It's something that penetrates the earth. Kid Rabbi Yehuda, like that which Rabbi Yehuda said. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda said, "Mitra bala da'arahu," that rain is the husband of the ground. Shenemar, there's a pasuk, "Ki ka'asher yirid hageshem," that when the rain falls, "Vashalag min hashamayim," and the snow comes from the sky, "Veshama lo yeshiv," and it's not going to return there. "Ki im haravei es ha'aretz," then it's going to saturate the land, "the holy da," and it's going to give birth. That's micha, and it's going to sprout out. So in other words, the pasuk says that when rain is falling, it uses the language of literally giving birth, that the land is going to give birth once the rain meets it and once it allows it to start growing. So what that shows you is that this is basically like marital relations that then allows a baby to be born. So too, that's why we call it, that's why we call rain and land meeting like the husband being with the wife, because the husband meets with the wife, the rain falls down to the ground, and then what do you know? A baby is born, aka the plants come out of the ground. V'amar Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Abba who teaches Revia Rishona Kadesha Tirid Bekarka Tefach. How do you know? So let's say there's like a shtickle drizzle, like a couple of drops fall down. Is that going to also be called the Revia Rishona no matter what? No, it says Rabbi Abahu, it's only called the Revia Rishona, it's only called that first rain when the rain penetrates, goes into the ground, at least for the measurement of one Tefach. Shnia Kadela Guf. What in the world? How do you define the second rain? How do you know when you go out, you see it raining, that you're for sure that this is going to be the second rain? You could say it's the second rain officially if it's possible to cover the opening of a barrel with it, meaning what? That if the rain has been saturating the ground so much that you can now take the ground and literally mold a cover out of it for a barrel, then at that point you can say that the second rain has fallen. Now we're going to have a conversation in which we're going to try to understand a word in the pasuk that says Vyatsar, that Hashem at some point has decided to hold back, to stop the rain from falling. So Rav Chisda, related to this idea that he says that the once you have rain that is strong enough and heavy enough that from it you can take the dirt and form a top for a barrel, there is no concern to say that this is going to be a situation that God has restricted the rain. Clearly He has not restricted the rain. The Amar of Chista, Geshamam Sheyardu Kodim Viatzar, Ain Behen Mishum Viatzar. Says Rav Chisda that rain that falls before Viatzar, what does it mean, rain that falls before Viatzar? Well, in case you haven't picked it up yet, Viatzar is a word that we say in Shema. So says Rav Chisda that rain that falls before we say Shema, then we don't have to, in other words, we're going to say the word Viatzar in the Shema, we don't have to be concerned that God has withheld the rain, that there is a concern that the Viatzar, that He's restricted the rain. So the question is, which Shema? The morning Shema or the evening Shema? Amar Abaye, Lo Amran, this teaching was not taught, Ela Kodem Viatzar De Orta, only if the rain falls before in the evening when you say Viatzar. So only if the rain falls during the day, which is before the evening Shema, aval kodem v'yatzar d'tzafra. But if rain falls before the morning statement of v'yatzar, rain falls before the morning Shema, yish ben mishum v'yatzar. Then you can say that God actually has restricted the rain. He's sort of sent damaging rain or not good rain, or it's going to badly impact the Jewish people. Da'amar Rav Yehuda bar Yitzchak. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav Yitzchak, honey. The Rav Yehuda bar Yitzchak said, "Hani anani ditzafra leis behu mishasha." That these morning clouds don't have substance to them. In other words, morning clouds, aka morning rain, is not a good situation. You don't like that kind of rain. You don't like those kinds of clouds. Dichtev ma'aselecha Ephraim, ma'aselecha Yehuda v'chasidchem ka'anan bakar. That the pasuk says that what can I do for you, Ephraim, or what can I do for you, Yehuda? Your kindness or your goodness is like the morning clouds. Meaning, what can I do for you, tribes of Ephraim and Yehuda? Evidently, I can't do much for you. Why? Because your goodness is like the morning clouds, aka you don't have such good goodness, because it's like the morning clouds, which we assume are not very good. Amar le Rav Papa la Abaye. Rav Papa says to Abaye, we have a problem with this. You've been saying that the morning clouds, aka the morning rain, or the rain that comes right before the morning Shema, is not good. But Amar le Rav Papa la Abaye. Rav Papa says to Abaye, v'ha imre inshe b'maftech b'vei mitra bar chamra moch shakach v'gani. There's a very big statement that people say, and that is that if rain falls when the gates are open in the early morning, then the donkey driver is told to fold up his sack and to go to sleep. In other words, if there are early morning rains or rains right before the morning Shema time that fall, then we assume that rain is going to be a beneficial sort of a rain that will allow the grain to grow, and therefore we tell the donkey drivers, don't go to the marketplace and try to sell your grain. There is no need for you to sell your grain, because this amazing early morning rain, or very, very late evening, early morning rain, just fell, and that so this teaching shows us that clearly these early rains that fall before the morning Shema, that they're good and not bad. So it says the Gemara, no, lo kasha, this is not an issue. Ha dekatir be'eva, ha dekatir be'anene. When the statement is made that the early rains before the morning Shema are good, that's when we have thick clouds. Thick clouds produce good rain, and that means that rain is going to be good. But when we seem to imply that the early morning rains, the rain before the Shema, is not good, that's talking about thin clouds. Thin clouds does not have good rain, and therefore we know that that's not going to be good rain. So there's just two different types of metzias. There's two different types of clouds for each of the statement. One is good and one is bad. Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda, Tava l'shasa d'tevis amalasa. Rabbi Yehuda has a very interesting statement. Happy is the year when Teves is a widow. In other words, what? That Rabbi Yehuda says that whenever Teves, the month of Teves, doesn't have rain in it, that's a good year. It's a good year to not have rain in Teves. Ikadamri, there are those who say, explain, why is this? Delo Bayrate Tarbitzi. Because if the rain does not fall in Teves, that means the yeshivas are going to be filled. They're not going to be empty, because people are going to be able to commute to their yeshivos when they're going back to yeshiva, because the rain didn't stop them from coming. Ikadamri, and there are those that say, Delo Shakil Shudfana, that the crop that when the rain doesn't fall on Tevis, that means that the crop is not going to be affected by like blight. It's not going to be like badly affected by having rain, and then it's going to like freeze over. So therefore, that's why it's good to not have rain in Tevis. Says the Gemara, Eini, is this really so that it's not good to have rain in the month of Tevis? The Amar of Chista, Tavar l'shasa de Tevis minvalsa, says Rav Chista that happy is the year when Tevis is like a maneuver, like it's like unseemly, meaning what? That Tevis has so much rain that like there's like so much mud and like disgustingness on the ground. That means that, in other words, that it's good. It's a good year when rain does fall on Tevis. So the exact opposite of that which Rabbi Yehuda said. So how could this be? Lo kasha, it's not a kasha. Hada asra mitra meikara, hada lo asra mitra meikara. It's good for rain to fall on Tevis when there wasn't enough rain that fell in the month before. When there is enough rain that fell in the month before, then it's not good to have rain in Tevis. Okay. V'amar Rav Chista, geshamam sheyardu al mektsas medina v'al mektsas medina lo yardu ein behen mishum v'atzar. Rav Chista says that when you have rain that falls on part of the medina, part of the country, and it doesn't fall on another part of the country, then that's not going to be part of this idea that God has restricted the rain. It's not such a bad thing if God does this, because the people who are getting rain could then provide food to the people who are not getting rain. It says the Gemara, Eini, is this really so? V'akasiv, v'gam anochi minasi michem es hageshem ba'ud shlusha chadashem lekatsir, v'im tarti al ir achas lo'amtir chelka achas timater. Right, says the Pasuk, that God says, I'm going to prevent from you the rain for the next 3 months until the harvest season, and I'm going to prevent rain from one season, I'm going to let it rain in one city, and in one city I'm not going to let it rain. One portion will not have rain. So you see from here that when you're not going to have rain in one area, but you will have rain in another area, that the whole thing is a bad situation, that it would be an issue. It is like God saying, Vatsar, that I'm going to prevent rain, because it's going to be bad for everyone. So it says the Gemara of Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, stay in the klola. Clearly from this pasuk, that both, that when you have a situation of one city receiving rain and another city not receiving rain, that both of them is going to be a curse. It's a curse for everyone, not just the people. It's going to be a curse for everyone, and it's not going to be a good thing. You can't say that we're going to assume that maybe one of them will give food to the other. It's an issue. Says the Gemara, Lokash. No, there's not a contradiction. Even though on the one hand it seems to be that in one case, when one city gets rain and another city doesn't get rain, one time that seems like it's a good thing, and another time it seems like a bad thing. Lokash, that's not a contradiction. Why? Ha da asa tuva, ha da asa kedmi baile. When the pasuk seems to imply that it's bad for one city to get rain and one city to not get rain, that means that city that is getting rain is going to get like excessive rain, like way too much rain. And if it's getting too much rain, then it's nice, they're getting rain, but their crops are going to be destroyed because they're going to be drowned in too much rain. However, when the implication is that when you have a situation where one is getting no rain and one is getting some rain, and then that's a good thing, well, that's where the amount of rain that's exactly needed falls, and then that is going to be considered a good thing because they'll have food and they can provide the other city with some food. Okay, I'm a Rav Ashi. Daikanami, Rav Ashi says you can actually make like a deal from the pasuk. Dichtiv timater, that the pasuk says timater, that it like it will rain, which means tehei makom matar, which means that it's going to be like a place of rain. It's going to be a place of too much rain. Says the Gemara Shramina, yeah, you can learn from here. It's a very nice idea. It's a good proof that shows that the pasuk is specifically talking about a case where there's going to be excessive rainfall in that one city, and that's going to be bad for that city as well. Okay. Amar Rabbi Abahu, a whole new topic, and with this topic we'll conclude over the next few lines. Amar Rabbi Abahu says, "Me'imasay mevarchin al gashamim." When do we make the bracha on rain? When is the time come for us to make the bracha on rain? Misha yatsa chasam nekras kala. Beautiful language, says the Gemara. Once the groom comes out to meet the bride, that's when we start saying the bracha on rain. What in the world does that mean? So bear with me for a second. The understanding is as follows. It means that it has rained long enough that there are now like puddles and some water on the ground, and when the drops are falling on the ground, there is going to be rain that splashes up to quote unquote meet them. So in other words, the imagery is that you have rain falling on a ground that already has had rain falling on it. So when the rain falls, that's like the kala falling. Then the chasan is going to be is like the rain on the ground that's going to come up to meet the kala. So that's what it means. That's when you start saying the bracha on rain, when it's been raining long enough to allow such a situation to happen that the rain that falls down is met by raindrops that jump back up at it. Mind the arich. Okay, so now that we know the time to make the bracha on rain. My mavarich, what is the bracha that you make on rain? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda says the name of Rav. Modim anachnu lecha Hashem Elokeinu al kol tipa v'tipa shehoredes lanu. That we are thankful to you, Hashem, and every single drop of rain that you have brought down to us. Rabbi Yochanan Mesayim Bahachin, Rabbi Yochanan finishes the bracha as follows. Ilu pinu malei shirak hayam, that were our mouths as full of song like the sea, uloshonina arena kamon galav chule, and were our tongues as filled with joy as the sea's many waves. That's how we begin the end. Ad al yazvino rachamecha Hashem elokina velo azavino baruch rov hahodaus, and we conclude with the very last words of God, don't let your mercy leave us, Hashem. As it has not left us yet, Baruch Rova Odos. Blessed is God with who there are many, with who there is many thanks. Says the Gemara, what? Many thanks? Most thanks? Rov HaHodos below Kol HaHodos? Doesn't God get all the thanks? What do you mean only most of the thanks? Amar Rava Ima El HaHodos. So Rava says, okay, you're right, that sounds a little bit odd. So let's say God of Thanksgiving. Don't say the many thanks to God, but rather just the God of Thanksgiving. Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, you know what, this is a little difficult. On the one hand, I like the language of Rov HaHodos. On the other hand, El HaHodos makes a lot more sense. So says Rav Papa, Hilkach, now we're on the top of Zion and Aleph, Nimrinu L'Tarabayo. Let's say both languages. Let's conclude the bracha, therefore. El HaHodaos v'Rov HaHodaos, that it's the God of, that he's the God of Thanksgiving, and also to whom most thanks are given to. Okay, so that brings us to the end of Daf Vav. God willing, next time we'll continue with Daf Zion, but for now, we'll stop right here.